Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, trusted for remodeling projects big and small. Ideas at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Last month, a plan to build a 440-acre data center in St. Charles raised serious concerns among residents worried about decreased property values, water contamination, and increased energy costs. Their voices were ultimately heard. Not only was the data center proposal rejected, it also led to a one-year ban by the St. Charles City Council on data center applications. Also among resident worries was a lack of transparency. There has been a cloud of mystery surrounding who is behind this massive undertaking. Joining me in the studio to talk about how this situation has unfolded is STLPR Senior Environment and Data Reporter, Kate Grumke. Kate, welcome back to the show and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So your first report about this data center story was published in mid-August, and that was when you covered an open house in St. Charles where residents spoke up about those concerns regarding this proposed data center. Take us back to that open house. And in a nutshell, what did the data center plans entail?
So the open house was run kind of like a science fair. There were tables addressing different concerns that residents had about the data center. And it was packed with people who were wearing red shirts that had the kind of no symbol with data center in it. They had signs saying that they were opposed to it. And so the data center, we didn't actually have a ton of information about who it was. There was a lawyer for the end user company there who wouldn't name the company, but said that it was a Fortune 100 company and that this was a hyperscale data center. So that means typically a really huge one that's used for AI.
And what was it that you knew about the data center and these plans before you attended that city council meeting?
So we knew that it was being developed by CRG, which is a data center building arm of Clayco. We knew that it was a $1 billion project, that it was a 440-acre lot off of 370. And we knew that people were worried about how this might affect water in the area, energy prices for everyone. But then there's a lot that we didn't know because city officials had signed non-disclosure agreements.
And the residents of St. Charles themselves, what did they share with you directly?
They were really frustrated. Everyone that I talked to felt like they didn't have enough information about the project. They were really worried about it, and they felt like their voices were not being heard in the process. And for the people that live right next to where the data center was going in, they felt like they should have a right to know more about it.
Mm-hmm. So overwhelmingly, it was opposition. Was there anybody there who spoke in favor of having this data center built?
Yeah, the lawyer for the company was in favor of it. There were development officials there who thought that it would be a good project, couldn't say much about it, but said that they thought it would be a good thing for this company to come into the St. Louis area.
Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned the Fortune 100 company, it almost sounds like they thought people would be won over by that.
Yeah, by it being so big. And you know what's interesting? That same language, we've heard it in other places across the country.
Okay, we're going to come back to that for sure. Now, eventually, the plans for the data center were rejected.
Actually, they were pulled.
They were pulled.
Yeah, okay. So the developer itself actually pulled the proposal, and they said they're going to come back. So it wasn't actually voted on. They kind of did that so that it wouldn't be voted on. So it's not necessarily dead. It's definitely a possibility that they'll come back. They said they would.
I want to introduce another voice to this conversation, and that is our colleague, Kayvon Mansouri, who is STLPR's economic development reporter. Kayvon, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And $1 billion, I can see why this is something that we're talking
yes.
about here. So along with the concerns, you know, about the proposed data centers project and its decreasing property values, introducing contamination to the water and increasing energy costs for residents around there. This transparency issue was also huge, and St. Charles residents not knowing what was behind these data center plans, that was something that you were looking into. So we do know that the developer that applied for the permit to start the construction is CRG Cumulus, and that is led by Christopher McKee. But how is it that you started uncovering who CRG is working with or who it's working for?
So the credit goes to Kate. She very smartly filed a Sunshine Records request and about for the NDAs that were signed by officials in St. Charles County. And on those, she called me over her desk, like, hey, do you want to, like, dive into this? Because, you know, as I know, I have a bit, we love investigations here at St. Louis Public Radio. And we started looking on the bottom of this NDA that was signed by a Michael Monfort with a Star Innovations LLC. And that immediately kind of, like, the investigative sort of like muscle started to flex a little bit. And we sort of said, well, we can start looking up these LLCs in Missouri, in different states, and we can start looking at different data centers and how they came to be. It started with just kind of looking up this Star Innovations LLC. They had a project down in West Memphis, was it, where we found them. And there were two names on that LLC, Michael Monfort, who had signed that NDA, and a David Thomas, which is a pretty, you know, general name. So, but Michael Monfort is a name that we highlighted David Thomas. And then we started talking more and we saw that we thought, no, well, there's another project in Kansas City that actually Google has claimed as their own. We looked up that AG Rose Solutions LLC through the Missouri LLC lookup, which everyone can use. And there is David Thomas's name. So we did this for, Kate, I would say like...
We ended up finding, it was seven LLCs and six Google data centers. So in Indianapolis, Kansas City, West Memphis, and then three in Northern Virginia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what we found is over and over again, these two names were in the very early stages of data centers that were eventually claimed by Google.
Mm-hmm. How did you know where to start, Kate? And I ask this because it was residents of St. Charles who showed up to voice their concerns, and in terms of sort of news you can use and what people can do, how did you begin and know where to begin?
Yeah, well, people were really frustrated by the even existence of this NDA. They were like, why are our city officials signing a non-disclosure agreement about something that's in the public interest? And so I was like, I want to read that NDA. So, we saw Spark Innovations on there. And we actually found that Spark Innovations was involved in the early stages of a West Memphis data center that on Friday, Google said it was behind. Mm-hmm. And so it really just kind of led us down this path of looking at all of these LLCs. And that's another interesting thing about these data centers is that in the beginning, they're often confidential. You don't really know who's building them. And these LLCs, it's interesting that these same guys are making all of these LLCs. We actually found nine with their names on them, but seven involved in Google data centers.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. I think earlier I said Star Innovations. I meant Spark. Yeah. So just not, don't want to confuse anyone.
And they have a lot of different names like Root LLC, Peanut LLC, yeah. Skyward Holdings LLC. So it's all kind of obscured behind these LLCs.
And a lot of them go back to Delaware. So like there will be a company that basically can form LLCs for you. And, you know, if you call that, it's just like a call center. So that's it kind of, you know, it was hard to find these individuals to talk to them and ask them about, you know, what their involvement is.
Mm-hmm. Did city officials there at St. Charles, did they say anything about why they needed to sign an NDA?
So the lawyer for the end user company, who still has not been named, said that this is typical with data centers because this is such a competitive environment. So their argument is that a lot of different data centers are competing for the same sites and the same resources. And so they need this to be secretive so that they can outcompete their competitors, I guess.
Which from an economic standpoint, I mean, would that not benefit, you know, citizens, I mean, for them to know, and if there is competition.
Possibly. The thing about these data centers is it's a big question about the economic impact. In fact, you know, we just broke a story not 10 minutes ago about St. Louis City thinking about putting a year-long moratorium ban on any data center development. And it's in that memo, the executive director of the St. Louis Planning and Urban Design Agency basically says, it's not clear past construction how much money this will bring in. There's a lot of tax things to consider. There's typically not many people working at these data centers. So like after the actual construction of them and beyond all the environmental impacts they might have, there's a question of how much money they'll actually bring in. That's something we're looking into.
Mm-hmm. One of the other concerns I do want to touch on is water, because this is something that we have talked about before. What does water have to do with this?
Yeah, so this is already a protected well district in St. Charles, so it's already kind of water that needs to be protected. And in St. Charles, the specific concern was diesel fuel, so there are kind of backup generators with these data centers in case the power goes out and they need to cool their system in a different way. And so they were actually trying to get a conditional use permit to have that fuel in case it did contaminate the water. That was the concern there. But then just water use is also a concern. So these need to be cooled, and typically they use water to do that, and it's huge amounts of water. So that's another concern, is that it's just going to take a lot of water out of the system.
And what is it that we're seeing in other states when it comes, you know, to water, when it comes to economic impact, you know, positive impact or negative impact? Maybe I'll start with you, Kayvon.
Again, I mean, there's a lot of questions. There are some communities that say there have been positive impacts, but there's a lot of pushback, especially, you know, in West Memphis, where we see this new data center come up, the same sort of pushback that you're seeing in St. Charles. You know, it's a big question. And I think that a lot of cities are trying to figure out how to handle this, if they want to be involved with it, what it could do for their city. I mean, you know, I think in the St. Charles, project, they were saying this could really help the city. This could, like, you know, fund parks and schools and what have you, you know. But then you have to take into consideration, you know, down the line, I don't think that project got far enough to talk about tax abatements and you know, what possible breaks that company could get for building in a place. And that's typically something that, you know, if we look at the economic development side of things, if someone's trying to bring in a big developer, there's typically going to be some tax breaks at least thought about, and not if not offered.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that makes, you know, building these data centers so competitive?
I mean, AI is everywhere,
it's
right?
Hot.
It's hot. It's flooding our lives. I'll throw it to Kate really, but I will say, you know, I was talking with my mom, who works sort of in that field recently, and she was just saying it's becoming, like, you know, this sort of almost frivolous thing for some, but they have to have data centers to support that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's also a lot of speculation about, is this really going to manifest how we think it's going to, or is this just a lot of hype? And that's especially worrying for energy costs. So there's a very real concern that all of our energy costs will go up because of data centers. So the one in St. Charles, that would be in Ameren service territory. I think most of our listeners are Ameren customers as well. And so the concern is that the utility will build power plants for these and will end up paying for that in some way. And so there is actually an effort at the state level to try to put new rates in place for the data centers. That's still being nailed down, and the devil's in the details, but this is a big thing that people are talking about in the energy space now too.
Investigative reporting is something that both of you have done. You've actually done it together. We've talked about that on the show regarding Hazelwood and schools. But when did you realize that these dots were actually connecting, and that there was a certain shape coming out from these connections?
Well, I think the whole newsroom probably heard when we started connecting the dots, because we were sitting at Kate's desk kind of being like, oh, this connects and this connects. But once we started connecting these names to LLCs, it became clear. When these guys show up, as Kate said earlier, when their two names appear on LLCs that are signing up to try to, they're very clear they're going to build a data center. Very often points, and we are saying this points to Google. We're not saying it is. We're saying very often Google is the data center that ends up being the end user of that development.
Mm-hmm. And why are you all so careful about saying where these dots are pointing at, and not that it is definitively Google?
Well, this is kind of how it's happened in other communities too. Reporters will connect the dots, and then eventually Google does announce that it is behind the data center. And so until we get confirmation from the company, I don't think that we can say definitively. And we did ask them to comment, and they did not respond. So I think that that's really what we're waiting for. But we've also requested a lot more documents from the city. We'll definitely be reporting on those for people to know what's going on.
And I'll just add, like, this is purposely secretive. So we are working in a system that has been set up to sort of, you know, put a cloak over things. So we are just shining a light and saying, here's what we see, here's what we think.
Mm-hmm. And is there some point at which Google does say, hey, it's us? Like, can we expect an answer within a particular period of time?
I think if it gets that far, eventually we will know.
Yeah.
There will be an announcement. And that's what happened in Kansas City and Indianapolis, in West Memphis, in the case of these three data centers in Northern Virginia. So mm-hmm. that is typically how it happens.
But with this year-long ban in St. Charles, it could be sometime.
And I'll also say in those cases, too, the company said it's a Fortune 100 company. So even that language was similar.
Mm-hmm. So this is St. Charles. And Kayvon, you mentioned St. Louis City also.
That's right.
Putting in, I mean, do you expect to see other municipalities in the St. Louis area, looking more closely at proposals or also, you know, instituting these 1 year or longer bans?
Yeah, Kayvon found a really interesting memo about this that is going to be discussed tonight at a meeting in St. Louis.
Yeah, there's a planning commission tonight for St. Louis City, and in the informational documents in there, the executive director of the Planning and Urban Design Agency in St. Louis, Don Rowe, basically talks about data centers. There's 12 data centers. They're smaller. They're not the size of the St. Charles proposal. In St. Louis already, there's another one that's been proposed just around in Midtown, very near us, and they are trying to figure out how to deal with this. The city has a zoning code from the 1950s, and it is not able to handle this sort of very complex thing. So there's a lot of discussion. We're going to see more proposals. I can almost guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to reach you with some tips or some pointers, where can they do that?
Yeah, my email is kgrum, as in Missouri, K-E, at stlpr.org.
Mine's a little bit tougher. K-M-A-N. SOURI at STLPR.org. Mm-hmm. You can just Google me.
All right. Kayvon Mansouri is economic development reporter for STLPR, and Kate Grumke is St. Louis Public Radio's senior environment and data reporter. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.